Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Life for the Uninformed, Bible Assistance for Living. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. What does God expect of a woman? In the last few decades, our culture has shifted and triggered a struggle over distinctive roles of men and women in life. Things are still a little fluid, but what are we supposed to be as a society? Well, let's travel back to the first century for a little background. In biblical times, in the first century, women had no rights. Women were essentially property. They could easily be divorced for something as minor as burning the toast or as simple as her husband finding someone more attractive. Men had all the power in the family. A man could even pimp his wife and children to gain money. The birth of a son was an event to celebrate. Girls were often exposed and left to die in the city square or on a hillside or in an alley. Some survived only to be raised as slaves or prostitutes. In Jesus' time, women were viewed to be responsible for most sin, especially sexual sin. In the culture, women were inferior. It was believed that women were incapable of learning the scriptures. According to Rabbi Tosefta, a Jewish man prayed three prayers each day, including one in which he thanked God he was not a woman. Sirach, a Pharisee, said that women were either good wives or a problem. Philo, a Greek philosopher, argued that women ought to stay at home desiring a life of seclusion. And it was into that culture Jesus was born. And by looking at how Jesus treated them, we can discover what God expects of women, or better said, what God would have women to know. So, what does God expect of a woman? What does He want women to know? Well, first of all, He wants you to know how important you are to Him. Jesus treated women with worth and dignity. Luke's gospel is full of moments where Jesus affirmed women. Look at John chapter 4, our text for this session. John chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jewish men, especially rabbis, didn't talk to women in public for any reason. One scholar, Billerbeck, wrote that the rule was one should not talk with a woman on the street, not even his own wife, and certainly not with somebody else's wife, because of the gossip of men. And there was another one. It is forbidden to give a woman any greeting, not even a hello, but Jesus did. Do you know why? Jesus engaged her because he cared about her. He cared about her spiritual condition, which is what they ended up talking about, and she became a believer. His disciples came back to the well and found Jesus talking to the woman. They marveled, it says, that he talked with a woman, John 4:27. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Jesus touched women. You can find several instances of this in the New Testament. There was the lady who Jesus healed, who had been crippled, bent over for 18 years. Another time he healed a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. He also healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus touched those women. If talking to a woman was forbidden, you can imagine that touching one was even worse. Jesus stood up for women. Jesus challenged the commonly held views of women in his society. Women were blamed for sin, especially sexual sin. Jesus took direct aim at that idea. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Where did Jesus place the blame? Squarely on the shoulders of men and their lust. Something unheard of in those ancient cultures. Jesus celebrated a woman's faith. Again and again, he referred to women as people of faith. One of the coolest stories is about a widow who gave an incredible offering. You have to go look at Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, where it says, "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." In Jesus' culture, rich folks were considered blessed by God, and poor people were viewed to be cursed by God. But Jesus stepped on that idea. A widow had very little means to support herself. When a woman's husband died, she basically had 3 options. She could remarry, she could go home and live with her father again, if that was even a possibility, or she could try to make it on the streets. Very few opportunities were afforded for widows. Women were so very important to Jesus, and he wants you to know that. Second, he wants you to follow him as a believer. Followers of rabbis were called disciples, and that was a position always reserved for men until Jesus came along. Look at Luke chapter 8, in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Well, that makes sense. These were men Jesus had prayerfully chosen to be his followers. He had chosen them to follow him closely in order to learn to become just like him. There's nothing unusual about that verse. But look at the next couple of verses. Verse 2. "And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." These women traveled with Jesus during his ministry. They saw Jesus' execution. They were witnesses at his burial, and they were at the empty tomb and saw Jesus resurrected. And they were the messengers that Jesus was alive again. Luke tells us about a time when a couple of sisters had Jesus over as a house guest. While he was there, he began to teach. One sister named Martha was busy doing women's work, and Mary, her sister, sat down as a disciple at Jesus' feet. Martha complained to Jesus, "Don't you think Mary should help out a little bit here?" Listen to Jesus' reply in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." God wants women to know that if you're looking for true love, you'll never find anyone who loves you more or willing to sacrifice as much for you as Jesus. And then third, he wants you to tell others about him. Jesus had just risen from the dead. And look what Jesus said to, and to whom he said it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 to 10. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And when they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. God wants women to know that you are extremely special to him. He loves you and wants you to follow him with your whole life. And he wants you to tell others about him. You have a great day.